Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Missives from the Underground. My name is Dee Dee, and on Twitter I go by Dust Daughter. And I'm joined by Maria, who goes by underscore Roxy underscore on Twitter.
Hello.
And we're here to recap, review, and discuss the season 2 finale of WGN's Underground. The episode is called Soldier. So what did you think of this episode,
Maria? This episode, we were saying earlier, it could have been 2 hours, and I absolutely agree. They packed a lot
easily
into 1 hour.
They sure did. And it wasn't even that an hour when you take commercials into it. So, oh yeah, we needed more because, there's too many dangling plot threads, too many people we don't know the whereabouts of, and not enough white folks dead, but...
Well, it definitely felt less finale-like to me. Felt more like the lead-up to the finale, really.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it ended. But, you know, as I said, as we were talking about last week's episode, which is... last week's episode, which is the penultimate, is typically a little more exciting than the finale because you have set up for the next season. But that is not to say that this episode lacked action.
No. Yeah, this episode was all about that action, but I still have questions. So, and since we're not sure who, where Underground the series will land next season, I refuse to believe that we won't get a season 3. We have to.
Oh, we're getting a season 3. We
better.
Come on.
So, it's just a matter of where it'll air.
I am a little disappointed we won't be getting a season 3 of Outsiders.
Well, you know, judging by who by the Sinclair group that bought WGN. Who knows what we're going to get on that channel anymore.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why the status of Underground is up in the air. It's not because of ratings or anything
right,
like that. It's because
spectacular.
Yeah, it's solely because this right-wing leaning group called Sinclair Broadcasting or whatever, bought WGN, and you gotta believe that a business that's friendly with Trump would not want to air or continue to air this show.
Damn.
Yeah, sucks. So. Maybe we'll talk more about that after we recap this episode. So let's get into it. There's lots to talk about. So, we open the show with, a man knocking on the door of a safe house. Harriet opens the door to, a man named George Stearns. He says he's one of John Brown's Secret Six, which is a group of six men that I guess he confided his plans to and worked with. He says he has a message for Harriet's ears only. And she says her ears are listening. George tells her that John wants to take the weapons arsenal at Harper's Ferry. and arm the enslaved in nearby plantations with the weapons that are there. Those who know their history know that he expected a lot more enslaved folks to want to be involved with this raid, but they didn't get enough word out in time, and a lot of people didn't want to take the risk. And in the end, it did not go the way John Brown wanted it to. So Harriet says to George that if this mission is carried out properly, it could spread like wildfire. And wildfire is hard to control. She says it's risky, but it's bold. Might be just what this country needs.
I agree.
George tells her that John wants her to be a part of the raid. We also know that John asked Frederick Douglass to be a part of it. He declined. And Harriet herself couldn't participate because she got sick. On the show, Harriet's noncommittal. She doesn't say yay or nay. We just hear the last thing that we hear is that John wants her to be a part of it. And we go on to the next scene.
And there we are in the house, with Georgia and Elizabeth, and they're talking to Daniel. And he's telling them about his past and how he was teaching his fellows how to read, and how his master burned his eyes with lye and called it poetic.
Fucking savages, sorry.
And, he tells them about how the master plans to sell off his family, and he's pleading for their help. And Elizabeth is, of course, ready to go, because she's all about rebellion and John Brown and guns. And Georgia, of course, they're always opposites at this point. Is even though it seems kind of strange to me how Georgia is opposite at sometimes, when she doesn't want to, her whole, I guess, purpose is not to draw attention to the house. So she feels like this would be something that would pull more focus towards the house, which is, something she desperately doesn't want. However, I the way she argues about it sometimes seems like she doesn't want there to be any revolution, which is a little strange, but everybody has their place in an uprising, and George's place just isn't on the front lines in that way. So, they go back a little bit about it, but they eventually decide that, they're going to do it because Rosalie and Noah are sitting in on the scene too. And Georgia says, I don't think we should do all of this for just one family, all this trouble we're going through. And Noah says, if we ain't doing this for a good man and his family, then what the hell are we doing it for?
Noah asked the real questions.
Yeah. Can't argue with that.
Nope.
So with that, it's decided that they're going to go down to that plantation and not just rescue his family, but rescue more families.
Yeah. So the next scene we go to is Cato talking to this strange white woman who we haven't seen before. She happens to be a redhead. Cato's talking to her about becoming a legend. He says it can't happen overnight. It ain't just one act. You gotta burn everything that's useless. Burn yourself clean. become one thing and amplify that into one thing. And he says his goal is the best slave catcher that ever was. And I'm just wondering, when did he get this twisted? Like, he don't give a fuck no more. Not that he ever did, but even less so now. He has nothing, absolutely nothing to lose. And that makes him really dangerous.
Yeah, he's also, you know, we see him with his shirt askew. I'm not sure that he has on pants.
So
this woman's corset.
Yeah, so this woman is probably a working woman. And, he picked a redhead for a reason. Because after he goes through thinking aloud this, whatever this was, he says he vows to make Patty Cannon a legend. And he makes this redhead say that she's Patty Cannon, like she's practicing. So then we go to Ernestine and August.
Mm-hmm. And they're still headed back to the Macon plantation. And they make it to August's former house, but on the outskirts of the plantation. And he's showing Ernestine the spots where his wife... Where his wife is buried and his slaves are buried, I guess. And he's just distraught. He's wondering, you know, how everything went so downhill for him. And then Ernestine offers him a sniff of the devil's blood. She goes, oh, yeah, we can do it together, you know. So she takes a big sniff. And then he takes a big sniff. And they do this really great thing where there's this song playing in the background. And as he sniffs it and starts to get high, the music slows down like it's chopped and screwed. Right? And you see.
And the song is singing something about the devil. So.
The devil takes little babies and buries them in the ground. So, you know, he's losing his grip on reality, and Ernestine is watching him very carefully. And the deeper he gets into his stupor, she starts to pick up her skirts and runs as fast as she can.
Ooh, she ran so fast. She ran like she was doing the, 100 meters.
Yeah, she was putting as much distance between him and her as absolutely possible.
She was booking it.
So, and we see her, you know, still running. And, she gets, the devil's blood gets to her, and she starts hallucinating. So she stops, you know, try to figure out what's real. And we see August is catching up to her. And he's also hallucinating, hearing voices. You know, he stops to catch up to try and figure out what's real, too, as he's chasing her.
Yeah, like Ernestine can hear, like, Sam's voice and Pearly May's voice. And then August hears the voice of his son and his wife singing. Mm-hmm. So
he also hears Rosalie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there's this... really just beautiful shot, to be honest, of Ernestine running through a cotton field. And have you ever seen a cotton field in real life?
No.
So my dad used to, when he was coming up he was born in 1950, his family were sharecroppers. So every summer they would pick cotton, basically sun up to sundown. So we went out there one summer and he took us to where the cotton fields used to be, and it appears endless. Like, just endless. And that's the way it looks here too. But anyway, I'm sorry. August eventually catches up to her because she's stopped. Because she sees the remains of what used to be the Macon Mansion. And she can't tell if she's hallucinating or not, because she can't imagine such devastation occurring there. And she even asks August, you know, am I hallucinating? Is this real?
she's wondering if she's really seeing this. And August says, there ain't nothing to see. And he's right, because there ain't not a board, not a screw, not a knob, or a... There's nothing left.
No, nothing but ashes in the fireplace.
Yep. So, next, we see James and Rosalie. They're in the boarding house, George's boarding house. And James is telling Rosalie that he doesn't think they'll ever see Ernestine again. But Rose says that that James has a clever part of him, and that she has it, and so did Sam. And they all got it from Ernestine. And Rosalie says that, you know, their mother's going to find her way back to them. So, we're kind of seeing Rosalie be a mom a little bit already. Rosalie sits down and, invites James to, lay his head on her belly. And then the baby starts kicking. And Rosalie says that the baby's trying to make his escape.
Right, he's planning his escape plan.
Yeah, everybody running, yeah. Even the baby.
Got a little bit of their mama in there too.
Daddy too, because no, you don't know what you're running. So, next up, we see we're with Rose and Noah later that night.
Now, Rose and Noah are in the safe house preparing for this trek to the plantation where Daniels come from, and to the surrounding plantations as well. And I think she's helping him pack.
Yeah, she's packing something for him. Yeah.
And they're having, you know, every conversation is difficult now. And she tells him about how afraid she is for him. How she was afraid, you know, to tell him that she was pregnant when she had to be the strongest she ever had to be, trying to go back and get her family, and now also being a mother on top of that. And she doesn't know how to let that fear go. And he tells her, you don't let it go. You know, but you can't let it stop you.
Yeah, you can't let it twist into something bad that wears you down and makes you feel small.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you stop fighting.
And she gives him whatever it is she's packing. I can't tell what it is. And, you know, she tells him that she loves him, which I don't think I've heard her say.
Yeah. I don't think either one of them has said it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He's still very much, you know, caring for her and for the child, but He says it's not that he doesn't want to forgive her, it's that he's not sure that he can.
Rosalie says it's all right, just come back to us. And I'm like, no, it's not all right.
Well,
y'all don't know what could happen. Y'all don't know what could happen.
Well, she
wants need to say it.
Yeah. She wants him to come back. That's all she can, you know, if all she can get is for him to come back, then maybe they can find a way, you know, back to each other. But he's got to come back first.
But the way they keep getting split up on this show, or, you know, separated, they're by never, circumstance.
They're never together for too long.
Exactly. So you gotta say everything you can say
Well,
while
she
you
did
have the
fall in
chance
love
to
with Noah.
say it. No, I'm talking about Noah now.
Oh, okay.
I'm fussing at him now. So, next, there's a scene with Noah and Elizabeth and John Brown's men, and they're forming a plan. Noah's always the man with the plan. So the plan is to hit three plantations, the one that Daniel worked on and two others. So Noah says that the mission will involve mostly house slaves who might take more convincing to get them to leave. Noah says they only have 3 hours to liberate everybody and then get back across the river. So they can get back. So, 'cause he wants to get this done and then get back to Rosalie and James as soon as possible. So, then Noah makes his way to the house where Daniel's baby's being kept, and he manages to talk the
Wait,
house
that's
girl.
whose baby? I couldn't figure it out. Like, whose baby is this?
Yeah, it's Daniel's baby
Okay, that
because
makes sense.
they were keeping the baby in the big house to keep him from running with his family
That's right. For some reason, I didn't
before they
think
could
it
sell.
was an actual baby. I thought they just meant a young child.
No, no.
Yeah, okay.
It's a baby.
That makes so much more sense now.
So Noah manages to get in, grab the baby, and slip out without any fuss, which I'm like, that is really lucky, but also it's television. Thank goodness the baby stayed quiet, or, I thought Noah was going to have to shoot that dude, and then all kind of chaos was going to ensue, but,
Right, and thanks to Rosalie that helped him.
Chaos was waiting for somebody else to cause it to ensue. And speaking of, Elizabeth is in another house, another plantation, with John Brown's men when the massa of that plantation holds a house girl hostage with a fire poker to her throat. And Elizabeth is talking to one of the other men, watching while Lucas tries to negotiate with this guy who's holding the girl hostage. And Elizabeth says, we don't really have time for this. We need to get back across the river. We need to get back and meet with Noah and them, and so we can all get across the river in time. The man that she's talking to, says that, Lucas can talk the guy down, but Elizabeth, she basically says YOLO and goes in and shoots the master dead.
Doesn't bat an eyelash.
She's like, ain't nobody got time for this. And then chaos starts to ensue. The plan is fucked now. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Well, Elizabeth doesn't believe in, well, Elizabeth believes in war. So, and this is war. As far as John Brown's men are also concerned, they also believe it to be war.
Now, she's not thinking about the consequences to the plan and
She's really not.
everything like that,
She's
but,
not.
you
She's
know.
not. So we go back to the boarding house, and Georgia and Rosalie and James are all in the lobby talking about another man who had freed about 3,000 slaves, they said, before he had to, well, helped to free them. He was a stop on the railroad, and before he had to shut down. And as they're talking about it, we get some shots fired through the door, And it's Patty Cannon and her boys. And she says, you know, she wants the Black Rose to come out. And she knows they're in there. She threatens to kill everybody in the house. You know, there's attention on the house that George didn't want, but it's coming from an unexpected or place, I guess. She was expecting it to come from Elizabeth, right?
Yeah.
So they, you know, brace the doors and everything, and they're running around the house and trying to get people to hiding places and make sure people aren't getting shot and, you know, closing windows and all that kind of stuff. Batting down the hatches for Patty Cannon's men who've come with not only guns, but also fire. Georgia does have her gun, so she's, you know, fighting people off, and there's this huge gun battle, right, with everybody inside the house versus everybody outside the house. The folks outside the house trying to get in. There's people running all over the place, getting to hiding spots. There's one hiding spot that was underneath the stairs, which I was like, what? So the guy actually just lifts up the stairs, and the other man goes down them underneath, which is just, like, blew my mind. And Rosalie runs off with James to one of the rooms hidden inside the walls. And there she runs into Cato.
She's there. They went down a tunnel to go. They're trying to head out toward the river. And she has to stop for a minute, and it's pitch black. Right. And James asks why. And the answer is just Rose shooting two men that she somehow seemed to sense in the darkness.
She sensed they weren't alone, so she shot her gun and fired, and you could see the two men by the spark of the gun. And so they abandoned that plan, and that's when they went off to the room, and she spots Cato in the hallway, one of the secret hallways.
She manages to close the door against him, and her and James start putting things in front of it to try to block him out as long as they can.
Right. Meanwhile, there's the Patty Cannon gang finally burst into the house. And Cato's talking to Rosalie, calling her the house girl. Of course.
Yeah. He never really calls her by her name.
No. And he's insulting her, insulting Noah. And she says to him, you know, I'm not really surprised to find you, you know, being a slave catcher. You were always so good at selling out your own. Mm-hmm. And Cato says, I ain't never been a nigger. I'm just Cato.
I don't know what that means, but whatever. You ain't never been shit, Cato.
Like, it sounds like O.J. Simpson. I'm not black, I'm O.J.
Okay.
That's what that is.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Which explains a lot of the stuff that he's been doing. You know, like when he was in London with Debbie. She's like, we never go anywhere where we see ourselves. We're always around rich white people. Like, what is that about? That's what that's about.
Man, somebody needs to do a whole psychological profile of this guy, because that would be fascinating. But right now, it's just irking the fuck out of me. So...
Understandable. Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's how you view yourself. Okay. You're not like these people. You're Cato. You're more, you know, you have more power and control over your circumstances.
Right. Okay. Ta-da, ta-da. Smart. So,
everyone. Anyway, at this time, he thinks he's smarter than everybody. But at this time, Rosalie is barricading the door to the room with everything they can find, she and James, and she starts going into labor. Starts having contractions.
Like, on top of everything.
It's probably like stress.
Yeah. The baby's like, Mama, I done already dealt with leeches and snakes. And we done already run from petty cannon before. Mm. Like, this is where I draw the line. I want out.
So much. Corsets and everything.
Ooh, branding. Like, oh. Ooh, Rosalie and this baby, Lord. Back with, Daniel and Noah and them. Daniel and his family are waiting with Noah for Elizabeth and John Brown's men to come back. He actually thinks about leaving without them, but, you know, just in time they show up. And they say that the Kentucky militia has followed them and blocked access to the river. See, this is what I'm talking about. With Elizabeth not thinking about the consequences of her actions. Because that one gun bullet, you know, she proved herself to be a badass and everything. And, you know, she saved time or whatever. But now they don't have a way out. So, Noah starts going YOLO himself and hands everybody... Everybody shotguns and tells them he's going to fight his way back to his family. He's like, all the roads to freedom paved in blood, but ain't nobody said it got to be ours. Okay. So you see these scenes of Noah and them fighting the militia, kind of interspersed with Rose just standing up, leaning over a table, giving birth. And James is running, you know, boiling sheets or some kind of cloth, getting water and stuff,
right,
to help out. Like, James, yeah, he's been through a lot too. Lord. So, and finally she finishes giving birth to the baby, and she holds baby in her arms and just, you know, gives him some tender little kisses. Like, even though he's, you know, still bloody from you know, just
being born.
Freshly being born. And James is like, yes, he does. And he's so brown. He's such a precious little thing. Oh, bless him. So after all of that, we go to Patty and Cato.
Oh, well, even before, Elizabeth, by the way, in the woods while that standoff was going down, is just killing people. Just like... She's been waiting
in her element.
Day. Like, right. She's the anti-Patty Cannon. just, you know, freeing people instead of capturing them.
So,
go back, you know, like you said, to Rosalie has her baby, and it's just this... This precious little chocolate drop is so cute. You know. And I'm wondering if Journey was still pregnant during this time, because I don't think so. Her face looks a little different. Anyway. So, we have the shootout going on downstairs. Right? They finally make it. Well, Patty Cannon's outside, I guess. Getting ready to go in to try and capture the Black Rose so she can get to Harriet. And of course, Donahue, the journalist, is there. And he's just always kind of antagonizing Patty. Which I'm fine with.
Shading the fuck out of her. Yes.
Right?
I would, I live for it.
So they make it into the house, and they're looking around for Harriet, and of course they're not finding her because she is not there. And then a wild Cato appears, and he says he knows where Harriet is. He found this letter. It says where she's gonna be. And we need to get a plan together. Come on, let's all go. And of course, Peg's like, no, it's just gonna be you and me, right? Because she's got to be the one to get all the glory, right? So she's going after Cato, and they're heading into this room, and suddenly it's like she can't find him, and now she's looking around again for Cato, and she goes into this room looking for him, turns around, and there Cato is with a shotgun, and he just shoots her in the chest.
First of all, yay!
Yeah,
Fuck Patty Cannon. Glad she's gone.
but it's Cato, and I'm just like,
Yeah,
So he
this one
basically
just.
says that he tells the reporter, who is like covered in Patty's blood and terrified, that the legend of Patty Cannon isn't gonna die. He's gonna make sure it stays alive. He's gonna take over Patty's boys, and he's already got the new Patty in place. And Donahue asks him, like, how do you think they're gonna accept you, as their leader? And he says, most folks are slaves waiting for a master. And then
No matter
Donahue
what
hurriedly,
color.
right, no matter what color, and Donahue hurriedly writes that down. Because it's a good line. If nothing else, Cato has really great lines.
Yeah, that's true. He
And then.
says, yeah. He says he knows one thing he knows about power is that you don't have to flaunt it. So
Right,
he's gonna
exactly.
sit in the background and let the working woman pretend to be Patty and pretend to lead it, and he's just gonna pull the strings in the background. And he says he's gonna give them their biggest score yet, the Black Rose.
I guess he's gonna keep Donahue on hand, I guess.
I guess so.
But we come
I
to find
mean,
out that the
where
letter.
Donahue gonna go? He probably scared shitless.
I mean, also, it's a really good story. It's gonna be the story of his life.
If he lives through it.
Right, if he lives to tell the tale, right? So he tells Donahue how he like fabricated the letter and everything. Like, this was all his design. It's just, Cato is devious. And he looks
This
out
is
for
what he
number
was
one.
plot.
And I do wonder, like, where's Devi? Where's Devi?
Probably on some plantation somewhere.
No.
He sold her out.
He did. Yeah, but then, like, what's his motivation? I guess to become the leader now. No, but I don't know. I need to see, like, what exactly happened to her.
So Noah comes back to the shed where Daniel and the baby are hiding while everybody went to fight the militia. And he tells Daniel that it's over. And Daniel says thank you and hugs his family. So then we go to Ernestine. She wakes up and she's in the forest, and she
Alone.
looks for Ogden. Huh? Yeah.
Not alone.
Yeah, she walks around looking for August and finds him like 10 feet away holding a gun to his head. So Ernestine actually has the presence of mind and enough kindness in her heart to try to talk him down. She tells him that she was at this low point not too long ago, and somebody reached a hand out to her and saved her.
Yeah, she tried to drown herself.
Yep. She said she's not sure if she should reach a hand out to him because of all the bad things that he's done.
Okay.
And I was with her right there. Mm-hmm. I was like, go and let her shoot. Go and let him shoot. Because I'm all about killing white folks on this show. but she says her heart has shifted and she's starting to forgive herself. So she tells him, we don't have to keep feeding the darkest part of ourselves. Mm. And she just gradually pulls the gun out of his hands and starts walking away. And that's the last we see of Ernestine this episode.
This is so intriguing. Like, their relationship is so, I don't know, complicated. Like,
yeah.
They're not friends.
Hell no.
They seem to be seeing the humanity in one in each other. And relating to that in some way.
Yeah, I think that's more on Ernestine's end than August, but
I mean, I don't know.
We'll see.
I feel like ever since August killed, what was it, Smokey?
Yeah, Smoke, whatever his name was, yeah.
And he didn't need to do that just because he was attacking Ernestine. Right?
I guess.
Well, what does he ever care that somebody was brutal to a slave?
Yeah.
You know. I am a little surprised he hasn't mentioned, like, what exactly happened to his son, to Ernestine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess that's what'll happen. We'll see that in season 3.
Yes, we will see that in season 3, because there will be a season 3.
Damn it.
I'm speaking into
best show on television. You're not going to take this away from me, goddammit.
You better not.
So,
we have Noah and Elizabeth and the crew returning to the boarding house. And they see, you know, everything shot up and disheveled. And they're looking around for everybody. And they don't hear or see anyone until they hear this baby cry.
Oh.
So they run downstairs and open this, I don't know, chest of...
It's trunk.
And inside are James and the baby. And we flash back to when Rosalie had just delivered the baby. She's holding the baby and she hears Cato calling for her to come out. I missed one part. When they were in the room, James and Rosalie, and Rosalie was having the baby, and they had the door boarded up, and this man reached in to try and, you know, get inside. James got a knife and stabbed him in his hand.
Welcome to the revolution, James.
I was like, all right, James. Because that's what I was thinking. I was like, stab his hand. Get his hand.
You better protect your sister.
Okay, and your nephew.
Mm-hmm.
James is the uncle now. So... But we flash back to Rosalie and the baby and James, and Cato is threatening her, telling her that she needs to come out now or he's going to start shooting everybody, starting with Georgia. And she puts James in the trunk with the baby, which I'm surprised they didn't hear. And, you know, she leaves and she tells James to tell Noah to come find her.
Maybe they couldn't hear because of all the bullets. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe there was just like too much excitement and people about to. But we're just really lucky the baby didn't start crying as well. We've had some really lucky babies this episode.
Yeah, but you think? But most newborns, they be yelling their heads off, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm, you know, it is a shrieking cry. But Noah picks up the baby. He's just looking the baby in the eyes so hard. And he's just cuddling the baby. And he tells the baby, "I'm free. I'm free now." And the last scene is we see James and Elizabeth and Noah. Noah just rocking the baby.
He just keeps saying, "You're going to be free. You're going to be free." And I was like, "Stop it. You're killing me, Noah. I'm going to cry. Buckets right here." Whew, Lord. See words on the screen says 10 months later. And we see Elizabeth wake up in time to kiss Lucas goodbye.
Mm-hmm. She's wearing
there, and, shirt. Yeah. They're in
bed. Precious lip injections, too.
Oh, Lord. That's because they've been kissing. Who knows what else? You know, she wants Lucas to stay with her so they can do what they do. But Lucas says they're down one man at the armory, so he can't stay. You know, so she kisses him goodbye. And then the next scene we see she's walking down a dock or a pier. And she hangs a lantern on a post on the pier. And as she walks back the other way, the camera pans out and we see, you know, several large crates that I'm assuming are full of weapons. So, and that's the end of the show.
What's the name of the pier?
Darn.
Harper's Ferry.
I don't know.
Is it Harper's Ferry?
So, that's it. That's all for season two.
Soon to be season three.
Yes. We will it into existence. Listen to us, universe.
Look at this money.
So I got questions.
Okay, go ahead.
What's the baby's name?
Yes. That's good.
Rosalie spent like 10 minutes with her child. That she worked so hard to keep alive and keep free. Didn't even have the chance to name the baby. I'm gonna take a vote for Sam. Or whatever Sam's father's name. I'm thinking Sam might have been named after his father. I'm not sure. But we'll see.
So, any more questions?
Yes. Since Cato took Rosalie away from her child, I'm gonna need Rosalie to murk the shit out of Cato in season three. Cato, season three is your last season. Sorry, I don't make the rules.
Do you think Cato can redeem himself?
No. There's some people that are just irredeemable.
I think he made a statement with his, "I'm Cato."
Well, next season you're going to be dead. Deal with that. Next question. Why did the episode end with Elizabeth?
I know, right?
You know I don't care about her show. I don't care about her.
It's like I don't. This is not what I'm here for.
Like, really? You gonna skip 10 whole ass months. And this is all we get to say. We don't get to see where the hell Ernestine walked off to.
I guess whether August followed. People you really care about for next season. To make sure you tune in.
Listen, this is the best show on TV. This is my favorite show. I'm tuning in. You got me. Let me know what happens to my people.
Well, then you don't have to worry about what happened to Elizabeth. They can get straight into everybody else.
See, you trying to give me hope, but you know they gonna start season three with her, and I'm gonna be like, yawn.
I believe it.
Next question: where is Harriet? We saw her that one scene at the beginning of the episode. She wasn't in the rest of the episode.
You know, I'm really ready for Harriet to have her own series.
Listen,
I've been ready for
that
that for a while.
spinoff is. I am here for the spinoff.
It
Tubman
doesn't have to be a
20s.
spinoff, but I just want you to take Aisha Hines and like make her own series about Harriet Tubman.
Yes, I will watch it. If she wants to make speeches for 10 episodes, I'm down.
From her childhood to fighting in the Civil War, all that. She was a
You got me,
spy,
Misha.
guys.
I'm saying she was everything. Harriet Tubman was everything. So, all these mentions of John Brown, are we going to see him in season three?
Oh, I'm sure of it. I mean, because we're talking about John Brown's raid on Hopper Ferry. So, looking at the Wikipedia, this is in 1859. So now we have a year. We know what year we're in. But yeah, we're absolutely going to see him there. We might not see Harriet there, because she didn't actually get to participate because she was sick. And then Douglas just thought it wouldn't work, and Douglas was right.
So if we see John Brown in season three, I wonder if Underground would, take a stab at other revolutionaries like Nat Turner. Wouldn't that be funny? It would be interesting if they did their own take on Nat Turner.
Yeah, so it would definitely be better than that movie that came out.
So are we done with Clara? Are we just never going back to South Carolina?
I guess not, if Ernestine's not there. And maybe we'll get to see her next season like we did Daniel this season.
That's most of my questions. I want to know what happened to the characters that I actually care about. Where's Georgia? So if Cato captured Rosalie and Georgia together, he's going to die, 'cause they're going to formulate a plan. And he's going to be dead by the end of it. That's what I feel in my bones. So, or at least I hope.
It's gonna be a challenge.
And how long is it before Rosalie will get to see Noah and James and her baby again? Oh my God, this is stressful, y'all. All right, see, I need season three now. You just can we Netflix pick it up and have them start filming immediately, and let's get this popping.
I'm ready. And also, get that Tubman series off the ground.
Yes. Tubman, tub, tub talks, whatever. I don't know
Tub
what you, I don't
talks.
care what you call it. I don't care what you call it, just give it to me, because I don't want this to be the last I see of Aisha Hines as Harriet Tubman, because she's too good in this role.
He's burning up the screen.
Oh my God. Amazing. So maybe we should wrap up with our thoughts on the season as a whole. How does this stack up compared to season one?
It's very different from season one, I think, in tone in a lot of ways. Just because, you know, we are in different places and we're getting different stories. I feel like season one, there was a lot of on the, to me, what impacted me anyway, was a lot of the horrors of slavery and just kind of like the everyday kind of cruelty. Like in one of the first scenes, you see Elizabeth attending the party at the Macon Mansion, and there's James, like sitting in a, like, I don't know, on a cage in the ceiling, wafting a fan. Mm-hmm. So all the ladies can be cool. But then there was also that same kind of aspect as a kind of like a getaway, almost kind of like a spy thriller aspect of the, of, you know, of running away and everything. And this time they had to be careful to try not to hit the same beats with Rosalie coming back to get her family. Right? Because that was a big shocker at the end of season one. But I feel like there were some really, really great episodes this season. You know, the one with Rosalie running herself, right? And all those tribulations she faced in the swamp. And, you know, them actually getting to the plantation and blowing up the house, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Aisha Hines' incredible, incredible, incredible episode as Harriet Tubman.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the stakes were higher this season. I mean, they were, not that they weren't high season one, but, you know, you bring Harriet Tubman into a show, and it's always going to be higher. They took a lot of chances this season, to take the show in different directions, and, you know, just believed in the audience enough that they would be able to keep up and, you know, continue watching and following, what they were doing. And, like you said, like the highs of this season were stupendously high. Like episode 3, Ache, the episode where Rosalie's running and you also see her struggle, kind of contrasted with Ernestine's kind of lowest point in South Carolina. Of course, episode 6, Minty. I mean, if there aren't some awards popping off from that episode, I don't know what. I will lose the last ember of faith that I have in these awards shows. I don't know if I can really compare these seasons adequately, but they certainly upped their game this season. They really weren't fucking around this season. Misha Green did that.
Yeah.
End of. She did that. The directors did that. Anthony Hemingway, Sally Richardson, Whitfield, all the other directors. Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
Shout out to you.
Oh my gosh.
For the clutch guest appearance. Shout out to the actor who plays Sam. I've forgotten his name. Johnny something, I'm sorry. Shout out to Adina Porter for falling through for a couple episodes. She was wonderful. Just shout out to the whole cast. You can tell they really believe in what they're doing. And shout out to Jessica Nicole. Shout out to DeWanda Wise, who I did not know is actually married to Alano Miller. just shout out to the whole entire cast and crew, because this was an incredible season and it went by too fast, and I need season 3 now. Not now, but right now. So, with that, we're going to close the book on chapter 2, season 2 of Underground. If you have any comments or feedback you want to give us, you can hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah. You listening right now, I'm talking to you.
Yes. We got 5 or 6 people listening, so if you tell us what you thought of the season, at Black Girl Squee, or individually, I'm at Dust Daughter. Maria is at underscore Roxy, R-O-X-I-E, underscore. You can also email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. So until season 3, goodbye from Missives from the Underground. Bye.
Sorry, my friend, this is the end. So I'm saying my